Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised.
Randa likes a good scalp scrub every now and again, she says.
I do. I also use a sugar scrub on my legs, but yeah, every now and again, I like to just get in there and just get it all scrubbed out of my hair.
I have that one from Amika, the like jelly stuff. Uh-huh. It's not like a scrub. I like it. The first time I used it, I didn't realize it had tea tree in it. And it's like put in and then immediately shampoo.
Tea tree.
Yeah, it got me. It got me good. I get like dry scalp right here in the front, and I think it's where my
wonders for that.
I think it's where I get my skincare in my hair.
Yeah, it might be.
So I have to like put a little in there, and it helps to.
Yes, and especially if you're somebody who uses like a dry shampoo or a product like what is that from Big Sexy Hair?
Oh, the powder. Yeah.
If you use something like that pretty often, it would probably do a pretty good benefit to you to use it at, like once a month or so. And just really scrub your scalp good and get it real clean.
That you just said something too. Dry shampoo. People do not realize when you put dry shampoo and especially a lot of dry shampoo in your hair, you have got to make sure you're getting that shit out because that can literally like
build up.
Yeah. Yeah. And not just that. Your scalp is skin. Yeah. It is skin. There are pores up there.
Yeah.
And so it needs to breathe also.
Yeah. But yeah, you need to exfoliate your scalp. It's a thing. And like we said, you can use a scrub, which a lot of them have like a little bit of menthol in there or tea tree or something like that. Give you a good little zing, a little pep. Do not get it in your eye. Or you can use like, you know, those little silicone scalp massager.
That's what I use. Shampoo. I got mine at TJ Maxx for like $4. Yeah. I love that thing. And my hair, honestly, I've not been having this anymore either. But like a scalp scrub to get it off real good.
Yeah.
And then you love hyaluronic acid on scalps also.
Yeah, after you do that, you can get out and you can put a little hyaluronic acid serum or use like a hyaluronic-based hair care, like a leave-in conditioner or something like that. That'll work too.
That'll work. And that'll make your hair nice and healthy.
And I feel like it'll also make it a little shiny.
Shiny, see? Well, look at that. There we go. We're struggling on these hair facts sometimes.
I mean, sometimes eventually we're going to run out. It's going to happen. We might repeat as we see fit because y'all don't listen.
Well, and we sit here and we record like 7 in a row. So by the time it's just like, oh my God.
What have we talked about? What have we not
talked
about?
I've never thought of a hair fact before in my life.
Even though it's what we talk about literally all day.
And we try to do the things we talk about all day, but I feel like we've covered a lot of those.
Yeah. A lot.
I even have, like, the girls at the shop been like, hey, got a hair fact in there?
What you guys been talking about?
Tell me something. So, anyway, yeah, there's your hair fact.
Ta-da.
This case goes with last week's spooky, though, right?
Okay, yes, and... You remember, y'all don't remember. Do you remember when we went, of course you remember this, when we went for my birthday to the cabin and I made you watch the documentary?
Yes.
The weird one?
Yes. Yeah, because I just, the Woods Witch had just got my radio in my car. I vividly remember this experience, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So, this case is one of those cases.
Okay.
Which is, we're talking about the missing 411. If you don't know about it, it's this craziness that is linked to Again, national parks, those light orbs are linked to this. But we'll talk about more about like why this fits in with that category. But today we are going back to June the 13th, 1969 to Spence Field in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
Okay.
Which is over by Cades Cove. Six-year-old Dennis Lloyd Martin is on an annual camping trip with his father, his grandfather, his brothers. This is something that the family does every year on Father's Day. They take a little family trip, a little family hike, camp, that whole thing.
So it sounds like these people are used to camping. They're not new at this.
Yeah, I believe. So here's the other thing about this is that everything I've watched, listened to, researched about this, people just keep talking in a fucking circle.
Okay.
Okay? I'm going to do my best to get down the facts and then we can talk ourselves in circles. Okay? Now, Dennis, healthy, pretty normal kid. He had a slight learning delay. And when I say slight, it was only about 6 months behind his, his peers. So he's not, I mean, not top of his class, but he's also not very far behind either.
Okay.
So he's excited about going on this trip with everybody. They head out. They take off on their hike. And they end up at Russell Field Shelter, which is like a, if you don't know, the Appalachian Trail. They have shelters built along it. Russell Field, Spence Field. This is all along the Appalachian Trail.
Okay.
And so they camp in this shelter overnight, which is normal. People do this. And then they're going to hike up to Spence Field after they're done for the day at Russell Field. So the next day, June 14th, they're on to Spence Field. Okay.
Okay.
So we've hiked up to Russell Field, spent the night in the shelter. Now we've hiked up to Spence Field. When they arrive at Spence Field, they make some friends with some other campers that have boys around their age. All the kids are playing. The adults are talking, having a good time, doing outdoor shit like outdoor people do, right? So the boys are all playing and they decide that they all get together and they're going to go hide. And when their parents are walking by, they're going to jump out.
Yeah.
Okay. Going to have a good time doing that.
The ultimate thrill as a child. Exactly.
As a kid in the late 60s who, you know, they don't have it. Like, this is their game. This is what they're playing. Instead of hide and go seek, they're going to do this. And so they all decide where their hiding places are going to be. And they all split up. And Dennis ends up by himself because he's got on a bright red shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody wants to be hiding with him because they're like, they're going to see.
He's a liability.
Now, all the adults remember watching Dennis go behind a certain little set of bushes because, again, the adults know what the kids are doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? They've watched them all go do this. And so they all have their little fun and games. It's probably like a couple minutes that they're hiding and playing and they're popping out and sneaking up.
Yeah.
And, you know. And all the boys come back, except for Dennis. And immediately, Dennis's dad starts to go look for him. Because he's like, he was right here behind the bush. Like, he was behind the bush. He hasn't come out from behind the bush. All the other boys did. Where the fuck is Dennis? And so...
And this is the woods. You have to worry about, is there snakes? Like,
snakes,
have
he got bears, into something? Yeah. Did you fall down a ravine? Did you...
Yeah.
Like, because we're in the mountains, you know? So, he starts to freak out a little bit because he can't find him. And so then the grandfather, Clyde, starts the 9 mile hike to the nearest ranger station.
Oh, wow. Yeah. They're
which
in there.
The rangers is who you contact in 69 if you're in a national park or something happens, you go find a ranger. And so he takes off to the ranger station. And this is approximately between 4 and 4:30. He reports to the ranger station by 8:30.
Okay.
And the times are a little shaky. And then the official search starts around 8:30 that night.
And this is Father's Day, so we can assume that it's going to be...
It just got dark.
Okay, I started to say, is it still daylight or is it starting to get that...
That night, a huge thunderstorm rolls in. Drenches everything. Which is another factor that... does not look good for poor little Dennis, because whereas in June in Tennessee, even in the mountains at nighttime, it's 70 degrees outside, which is fine. He's not going to die of exposure in 70 degrees, but soaking wet after a thunderstorm and it drops down to 55 degrees.
Yeah.
We're in trouble. And so the largest manhunt for this child in the history of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park ensues.
Oh.
The next day. So we are on to June 15th. 1,400 searchers show up. The volume of searchers alone is a problem. Okay.
How do you manage that many people?
Exactly. And so it's a little bit chaotic for a little while. And because of the rain, tracking dogs cannot get Dennis's scent at all.
Yeah.
They can't pick up anything. On top of that, any branches that are broken, anything like that, could very well have been from the storm.
Right.
And so it's just exacerbates everything. And so it kind of all culminates to this search. It's the largest ever been, but it was not very productive.
Well, and not just that, in 1969, they don't have the technology that we do right. to be able to keep this as a controlled situation.
Well, it's funny you say that. Because guess who's called in?
TBI.
No. The Green Berets. Now, if you could see the look on Ashley's face, this is not normal.
Are they like specialists at finding people? That's...
They apparently are sent in because it's such rugged terrain.
Okay. Bring the top dogs in because they're the only ones that can handle it.
But they... It's weird because...
I've heard National Guard. I've heard like TBI. Right. If it was on the Kentucky side, Kentucky Bureau, whatever. But I've never heard of Green Berets.
Yeah. So... And then, so we roll around to June 17th. So this is 2 days after the initial big search happens. A child's small footprints are found near West Prong Trail, which is more over towards the Cadence Cove side of things, and several miles away from the initial disappearance site. Okay?
But either way, we know they're going to be new footprints because it had just rained so much. So. Right.
However, Dennis's father says that they are too big to be Dennis's, but the Oxford-style shoe matches what Dennis was last seen in. There is one shoe, and then there's one barefoot. So he's missing a shoe. The Green Berets are dispatched over there when this happens. And by this time, the Green Berets are using a completely separate radio channel from the rest of the search efforts. Nobody knows why.
That makes me wonder if it's kind of like, because, spoiler to everybody, I listen to The Scanner all the time.
These aren't even men on training exercise.
Because I started saying
these are just dudes that are sitting around barracks.
Because I started saying when really bad shit happens, they'll switch frequencies on the scanners, but that's so other people can't listen to it. Why would they not want the searchers to hear what they were doing?
That's what I'm saying. If you're a part of the search effort, why are you on your own radio channel?
Yeah, you need to communicate with each... Okay.
And multiple sources, FBI, park rangers, are saying the Green Berets are acting on their own volition.
These men
They're
are
not
grown.
Taking orders
yeah.
from anybody. They are on their own set of instruction, right? So that was another thing that was, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Two different missions kind of going on at once.
Right. Ultimately, the shoe print ends up as a dead end. We don't glean anything from that. On June 18th, the FBI officially gets involved with head agent Jim Reich. Now, we've continued the investigation until June 29th when Reich issues a report stating lack of evidence of kidnapping, which is what the dad has said had to be what happened this whole time. He was like, he wouldn't just run off. Well, he's got to be kidnapped. But it may just be a distraught father being like, somebody had to have taken my
true.
Kid.
I look at it as, how far could he have gotten?
Exactly.
That's my thing. Like, how far could he have gotten? He's a child.
Exactly.
And so he knows where he came from.
Makes me think of? Little Dior Coons.
The one that, like, went missing.
Idaho.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, how far could he have
gotten?
Where
did he go?
Yeah.
And it just vanished. Out of nowhere. And there are some... Okay, so going back to these footprints, it ends up as a dead end because there was, like, a Boy Scout troop that was camping nearby. And okay. They were saying that this was part of the Boy Scouts. And that the dad said that the footprint was too big to be Dennis's. But again, the footprint would have suggested that Dennis was by himself because there was nobody else's footprint around. And this dad is still pushing this kidnap narrative.
And not just that, why would Boy Scouts have one shoe off and one shoe on?
Right. Okay, so you see where I'm going with, like, there's a lot of talking ourselves in circles here. And there's a lot of misreporting and re-reporting. And then this is fact. But no, this is not fact. And then half of the FBI records that you can still look at today are all redacted. Like, almost all redacted.
Yeah.
So, that's what I'm telling you when I'm like, we'll talk ourselves in circles here. Just heading on. So, FBI's involved. Jim Reich. On June 29th, 69, Reich issues a report stating lack of evidence of kidnapping, which is what the dad has been saying. It's got to be the whole time.
But you don't have any evidence, is the thing.
Zero. Yeah, so, he's just vanished. He's just gone. I mean, there's not a tuft of hair. There's not blood. There's not the shoes.
Yeah.
Where's the shoe? I mean, if he was anywhere in the bushes there, he was in a bright red shirt.
Well, and not just this. It's not like it was a smaller kid. Like, the kid out in Idaho was a little bit smaller.
So he was only, like, two or three, I think.
Right. This kid,
6 years old.
Right. He knows where he walked from, and he knew, like... It wouldn't be...
If he's calling out for Dennis, he would have said, I'm over here, Dad.
Yeah. So that's just... That's crazy.
And if he would have been snatched up by somebody, they would have had to prevent him from screaming or...
And had to have taken him a long way, too.
Yeah.
Because I looked at that shelter, and those shelters are literally just, like, wooden cabins out in the woods. Like, they're not...
Yeah, they're not anything.
They're nothing special. No. So it's not...
No, they're lean-tos to put your tent under.
Yeah.
To keep it watertight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's... There's a lot. So no evidence of kidnapping, which not wrong. And he suggests limiting the search efforts to park rangers only, saying that the FBI is going to pull out, TBI is going to pull out, Green Berets are not there anymore. Like, we need to just hand this over to the park rangers and let them do localized searches based on any tips that come in. Right?
I see that as fair because they're the people that know the area. So
in this report... He also notes Bill Martin's belief in psychics. There have been mailed in predictions. One from, like, this psychic who was, like, advising the White House at one point.
You would be surprised how many White House psychics there have been. Because I've actually, like, heard of that before.
Well, she said that Dennis would be found... by a waterfall, and when she saw him, he was still alive and gave specific, like, this is how you get there. And when they went and checked, no trace of him.
Okay, Sylvia Brown.
Right. And so Jim Reich is basically like, as the FBI, we can't do anymore. Like, there's nothing.
Well,
to
they're
do.
Sitting ducks. There's no evidence that he's not popped up. You know, what are they supposed to do?
So about... a little less than a month after Jim Reich pulls out, we get an article from the Key family. And what happened with the Key family was Harold, the dad, and the family were on a hike the weekend that Dennis vanished.
Okay.
I believe it was actually June 14th, the day that he disappeared. They're on a hike. They hear... a scream, which they say could have been a boy. And then they see this guy kind of up ahead lurking in the bushes. Guy pops up, runs off, gets in a white car, and he's gone, right? Now, there were articles that said that Harold saw the guy with something red over his shoulder. Dennis was last seen wearing a red shirt.
Right.
There were articles that said that the kids were like, oh, look, Dad, a bear. And then when the guy, when he stood up out of the bushes, they were like, oh, no, that's a dude. And he was all scruffy and gross and nasty. And then he took off, but there was no mention of a white car. And then there was, you know, it devolves.
All over, yeah.
Yeah. But the hard fact is, Harold in 2016 states that the man was alone, had nothing, was startled when they came, ran and got in the car. He could have been a moonshiner, could have been somebody stashing drugs. I mean, it could have been anything.
I mean, he could have just been a weirdo.
Yeah, a freaking weirdo and was like, hi, you're people.
Yeah.
And Harold's daughter states that the kids never said that they saw a bear.
Yeah.
You know, this is just the exaggeration.
Well, I started saying back then, newspapers kind of made their own stories. So. Right.
Now, Bill Martin holds on to the Keys sighting of this man as this guy had Dennis somehow. And that he thinks that the Keys saw this man taking Dennis. But the time frame doesn't add up.
Right.
Because the time frame that Harold says that he saw this guy and when Dennis was abducted is about 40 minutes. Right?
Yeah.
It's miles apart.
Well, and when you said the scream, my first thought was coyote.
Mountain lion.
Yeah.
Bobcat. Fox. Anything.
A coyote will legitimately make you think someone's getting murdered in your backyard. So it's like that. And even I live in the middle of town and there's coyotes in this woods we can hear.
Yeah. There's coyotes in the graveyard behind my house.
Yeah.
There's deer back there. There's a black fox back there.
That's awesome. Fox just living its best life in the cemetery. But that could have very well been wildlife. Like, and who's to say that that guy didn't hear that supposed scream also? And that's like, he heard that and people were coming up and he was like, bah, like abort, whatever the fuck I'm doing right now.
Right.
You know, there's.
So there's that. And apparently the Keys didn't report this because they didn't really think anything of it until they started seeing things about
the
Dennis.
News. Yeah.
And so then they reported this, and then this is how it just snowballed, right? Yeah.
To them, it's one of those to where they were just like, huh, that's weird, until a few days later.
Right. Another thing that Bill Martin liked to bring up when he was still around was the fact that Jim Reich, the original FBI investigator, committed suicide later.
But that could be anything.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the rumor was that, like, he did it because of guilt over the Dennis Martin case, or he knew something, or...
That man was probably long law enforcement. You don't know
what people have already talked to Jim Reich's family, and they were like, then it was over.
So, that's actually, like, the highest rate of death in law enforcement, so that would...
Right, exactly. So now we're going to move on to Mr. Dwight McCarter, who is a retired park ranger who wrote a book about missing people in the national parks. And Dennis is one of them. And he works this case. And he also is a little bit responsible for some of the weirder theories out here. Dwight McCarter is the first one to comment about wild men, quote unquote, in the Smoky Mountain National Park. Now, wild man used to be a colloquialism for Sasquatch. Bigfoot. But he was referring to...
In my head, I thought, not the Bigfoots.
Not the Bigfoots.
Not the Bigfoot.
The Big Feet. He was referring to a singular man who now is also probably where we get the rumor of feral people in the Appalachians.
We're all feral in the Appalachians, guys. I'm sorry.
Born that way. And it was like this one guy who lived out in the woods alone as a hermit, didn't off the grid, no society. It was one guy, and he lived like miles and miles and miles and miles and miles away from where Dennis disappeared from. And so he is where there have been rumors that Dennis got snatched up by a Sasquatch. There have been the feral people rumors. That's the Wild Man Comet is probably where most of that stemmed from. Dwight McConner says in 1985, a guy he was friends with, who was apparently at the time illegally harvesting ginseng,
okay,
which is a thing, stumbled across a small set of skeletal remains in the woods, which he says were human. And because of his activities at the time, he did not report it, but he was telling Dwight then about this set of remains. And Dwight put together a small search group, went out, looked, and didn't find anything. But now you have to keep in mind that this happened in 69, 85, it's 20 years. About a quarter of an inch of soil is added every year in debris in the Appalachian Mountains. Yeah. Because we're a deciduous forest.
And all those leaves fall. They don't have anywhere to go.
They get decomposed back in the soil and earth, and that's how it builds. And so about a quarter of an inch a year is added. So, again, nothing comes of this search. When the guy says, hey, it was over in this area where I found this, nothing comes of that. Now, Dwight McCarter also claims that he was over in the Parsons Branch Road area searching when Dennis first disappeared. And they had a whiff, which is close to where the footprint was found.
Oh, okay.
They had a whiff of death. Which, if you smelled death, you know what death smells like. It's pretty unmistakable. And they called it in on the radio. And the powers that be said, already had somebody look over there. It's probably just a dead crow. Why crow was specific, I don't know. But they didn't go back and search anymore. So Dennis' remains have never been found. Nobody knows where Dennis is. Nobody knows what happened to Dennis. It remains unsolved to this day. And one of the things that makes him go along with the missing 411 criteria, and this is very interesting, is these are all people that have disappeared, vanished without a trace, out of national parks or very remote areas. There is usually a significant weather event that happens, whether it is rain, snow, hail, a significant fog will roll in, something like that. And they're usually, you know, around or near either running or standing water, like lakes, ponds, streams, like Dennis was, or they're being near like a rock field. So by a large rock face or something like that, which one could argue are dangerous places anyway, yes, but it's weird that all these have this in common. They're usually separated from the group. They're usually alone when this happens, which obviously that's how you disappear, but again, they've been separated. But usually the person is separated from the group or off by themselves for some reason. And they usually are just gone without a trace. Any trace of them is found like miles and miles away from the original disappearance site.
I wonder, there's caves all in like the hills. It makes me wonder if there was just a tiny opening in the ground to a cave and he just so happened to fall in.
My initial thought is like he just wandered off and got himself into a horrible accident and they've just never found him. But it's just so
that many people searching right there, though. You would think that unless he fell down in a hole or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a strange one.
I don't think it's the Hermit in the Woods.
No, I don't think it's the Hermit in the Woods. I don't think it's the guy Keith saw either, because again, the time doesn't add up. Mm-hmm. There's no way that guy could have got all the way to get Dennis and then all the way back.
Yeah, that's a hike. I mean, was it Bigfoot?
And none of the other kids saw anything. They were farther down the trail than he was.
nobody heard anything.
That's the thing. It's like, if he was snatched up, you would think you would hear something.
Yeah. That's the first thing they teach you if somebody snatches, you scream.
Scream, yeah.
That is weird. I think he probably did have some type of just weird fluke accident, but what was it?
Yeah. It's just the lack of evidence. I mean, there's nothing. Yeah.
Parks freak me out. There's so many deaths in parks.
They're so vast.
Yeah. My mom loves listening to the podcast on, like, national parks, too.
They're huge.
Which, at the same time, they are so big that you can't just kidnap somebody out of them.
Right.
So, what's going on in the parks? What metaphysical thing is going on with the parks?
It's weird.
It's weird. That's why we love this area. You never know what you're going to get. So, well, I'm guessing his family isn't living anymore.
I don't think the dad's still here. It doesn't really mention his mom at all.
That sucks for them.
Other than, like, I guess she was quoted as going to church and you know, being distraught as a mother would be. And she was like, I guess this is God punishing us for not being more grateful for what we have. And as soon as we are grateful, Dennis will come back. So, again, distraught mama.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well,
it's a weird one.
That is. That's a weird one, but I like it. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.